Good morning, brothers and sisters. And welcome to you on Facebook Live. We are back on Facebook Live. As you know, we weren't last Sunday because of just trying to keep our missionary safe. And so we welcome you back on Facebook Live this morning. If I mention our missionary brother, I won't mention the country, and I won't mention his name because we are Facebook Live again today. I do want to say this, it was very good for me at least, I hope it was for you to have him with us last week, amen? It's just good for us to be able to hear what God is doing in other parts of the world. It's just good for us to be reminded that around the globe, there's a whole lot of folks with a whole lot less blessings than we got, amen? If you saw his videos in the morning, and some of us saw more in the evenings, it's just good to be reminded how blessed we are and to be thankful for what we have in America. I spent almost 5 hours with him on Monday. As I picked him up from the hotel, we went to breakfast with some other folks. I took him back to the airport. And we had a wonderful time. I cherish that time when we're in the car together just visiting. And we talked a lot about the Lord's blessing and challenges in our partnership and ministry all these years. But there's a couple things he said to me on the way to the airport that morning that really stuck with me, and this sermon is based on what he said. He's reminded me again, and I said this already, how fortunate we are in America. We don't have to, under most circumstances, we don't have to pass through metal detectors and buy armed guards to go worship the Lord. It's a reality around the globe. It's a reality for them. Every Sunday, every event, pass through metal detectors, pass by armed guards. Some of you saw the pictures, the video on Sunday evening. And I was reminded as I talked with him en route back to the airport how blessed we are. We're not getting shot at for the most part. Yes, there has been some tragedies in America with church shootings. But he showed us video last Sunday evening of people that had been shot. Bullet holes in buildings, in their doors. We don't have to go through that for the most part. We don't have to worry about, if I don't work today, I don't eat tomorrow. That's a reality for millions. And so we got to talk about a lot of things. And as we spoke about the people coming to faith in his city and the hunger there for the Word of God, they come to church. One of your boys asked him, how long do you do church? He asked him on Sunday night, and he said, our typical worship services are 2 to 3 hours. Is that not what he said? 2 to 3 hours on every Sunday morning and on every Thursday, and yet their hunger for more. They've just been there for 2 or 3 hours and their hunger for more. We talked about that. We talked about the bullets flying and the potential for death when they come to Christ. That's a reality for a lot of Christians around the globe. And while we're en route, partway down there, he said something to me while we're talking about the intensity in which they worship, perhaps versus the lesser intensity we come together and worship in America because of the circumstances. He said this, and I quote, I am not interested any longer in playing church. And I thought about that for a mile or two. And I said to him, I agree 100%. I'm not interested in playing church either. And we concluded as we traveled towards the airport that perhaps persecution is actually helping them in their faith journey. Because when they come to Christ, it could mean death. It could mean death at the hands of their own family. When they come to Christ and they come to worship, whether it's on a Sunday morning or a Thursday evening or some other event, It could mean death. And so we concluded that perhaps a little persecution is actually helping them determine, is my faith real or am I playing church? They're not playing church when they decide to follow Jesus in places like that. We concluded that perhaps maybe some persecution is what the Americanized Christians need to see if our faith is real or to see if we're playing church. On the way home, I had 2.5 hours to think about what he'd said. And as I was thinking about what my brother said, I also thought about what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3. If you got your Bible, turn there. I was thinking about what my brother said about playing church. He said, I'm not interested in playing church. And as I pondered that, I pondered what Jesus said to the Laodicean church in John's time. And I believe that this scripture in Revelation chapter 3 is relevant to every believer in every church in every time in history, because I believe it is possible for all of us, especially without some persecution and intensity, to make sure our faith is real. I believe the opportunity and possibility for lukewarmness is possible for all of us. Thus, beginning to play church. And so Revelation 3, Jesus dictates these words to John, and he says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And let me just say this, friends, I know that we've gone over these seven letters before. I know that you've read them. I hope that you have, these seven letters to the churches. I know that we've gone over them before. But I feel, and I felt as I was traveling back after dropping him off, this warning needs to be sounded again. So Jesus says, write this to the Laodicean church. I know who you are. I know what makes you tick. I know if you're playing church or if you're not. I know your works, he said. And when he says, I know who you are, I know your hearts, I know if you're just going through the mechanics of religion or you're passionate for Christ, I know all about that, he said to the Laodicean church, and I believe he would say it to the 21st century American church also. I know who you are. Then he said that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Do you hear what he's saying, friends? Do you see the seriousness of what he's saying here? He doesn't do lukewarm. When he calls us, whether it's in Motley, Minnesota, or someplace in America, or in a third world country where they are clearly going to suffer persecution for coming to Christ, he calls us to walk with Jesus. He calls us to be passionate about Jesus. He calls us to be obedient to his word. He calls us to be led by the Spirit. He doesn't do lukewarm. And that's what my brother meant when he spoke to me. I'm not interested in playing church. When these multitudes walk, in some cases, for a long time to get there, and come there to worship for 2 and 3 hours, and you saw the video. They weep and they raise holy hands and worship God, and they want more of it. They're not playing. And Jesus told John to write to the church at Laodicea, who apparently had cooled off in their fervor, apparently had cooled off in their zeal, in their passion for Christ. He said, I don't do lukewarm. Then he said this to them, verse 17. You see, in their mind, they said, well, I got it all together. In their mind, they said, well, I got no needs. I'm as good as the next person is. Here's what he said. Because you say, I am rich, become wealthy, have need of nothing. That was their rationale. I'm perfectly okay where I'm at. And he said, in reality, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. A long ways from their self-analysis. I have no needs. I'm just fine. I get to church once in a while anyway, the way it is, Jim. I'm a pretty good person. I'm better than the next one after all. That's their rationale. He said, because you say I am rich. But in reality, he said, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's the reality, he said, of your church life. And then he said, I counsel you to buy from me. This is the Son of God challenging the church. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. When you come to Christ, you will be rich then. I counsel you that you may be rich and wear white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And then he says, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. He says, come to me for all of that stuff. What he is saying to the Laodicean church, and maybe to many in the American church today, there are some changes that need to be made in your commitment and your journey with Jesus. You think it's all well and good. You say, in fact, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing. But in reality, you are in a very bad state. That is the reality, he says to this church. And in verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's really good news, by the way. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why? Why would he rebuke and chasten? Why would he put stumbling blocks in front of you? Why would he put difficulty in your path? Because if I'm not walking in the ways that he wants me to walk out of his love for us, he will rebuke and chasten me and you and the rest of the church to turn us around and bring us back to where he wants us to be in him. That's why. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten them to give them another chance to come back to where they belong in me, he said. And also in verse 19, he said, therefore, be zealous and repent. There's that word again. We just used that a couple, 3 weeks ago from the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Some of you are here, we remember. That's how Jesus' ministry began. Who remembers that? Mark 1, 15. Well, thank you. One does. Two, thank you. Hey, a little one remembers. Hallelujah. That's how he started his ministry. Mark 1, 15. Repent and believe. Repent means turn from the current object of your truth. Believe means embrace wholeheartedly the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel, he said. And now he says it to a church that's already established. The same thing. Repent. Turn from the existing object of your truth. Repent because your trust hasn't been in Christ. Be zealous and repent. And then that verse that we know, we all have heard it. We know it so well. Here's what he's saying to the church. That church that has cooled off in their zeal. That church that says, I'm perfectly okay. And he said, you're not okay. You're not okay. Here's what he says. Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. I'm standing at the door knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. You know why he says that? Because things aren't okay. They're not okay with the Laodicean church and the Son of God. He said, I'm at this point when I'm standing on the outside of the door asking to come in. And I will come in. I will dine with you. I will fellowship with you. The King James says, I think, sup. I will sup with you, but you've got to open the door back up. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. Yes, he invites the world to come and do the same, but he's talking to the church. There's a warning here. There's an invitation. Repent, he said. Be zealous and repent. And open up your heart to me again. Open up your life to me. Open up your home. Open up your business. Open up that closet that you don't want nobody else to know about. Open that up to the Son of God. I'm standing at the door knocking. And if you will hear, if you will respond to my voice and open the door, I'll come back in. And we will fellowship together again. Then he wraps up this little letter by saying, to him who overcomes, are you hearing what he said? To him or her that overcomes. In other words, to him or her that responds to what he has just said. To him or her who recognizes what he just said. You've got a need. You've become lukewarm. And I don't do lukewarm. Repent of that lukewarmness. Open up the door of your life. Let me back in. Then he says, to him who overcomes, who responds to this directive of the Son of God, to that person, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's what I thought about on the way back home. After hearing what my brother challenged me with in his simple statement, I'm not interested in playing church. And as I read that a couple times this week, I really concluded Jesus is really quite clear in this letter. Is he not quite clear, friends? He's quite clear. He's not interested in people playing church either. The Son of God is not interested in us just going through the religious motions, the mechanics. Well, I checked that off because I went to church. I should be good for another month or so. He's not interested in that kind of religion. He's not interested in that kind of playing. He's not interested in that kind of lukewarmness. He wants all of you and me or none of us. He does not want a few minutes here or a few minutes there if I get in trouble. When we decide to follow Christ, he wants us to follow Christ passionately and wholeheartedly or not at all. That's what he's talking about here. In this letter, we see the condition of the church. We see the warning to the church. We see the directive to the church. And we see the statement to him who overcomes. To that person, to that church, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Only to the overcomer, not to the lukewarm. I did a funeral for another classmate yesterday. That's two in the last 2 months, my own classmates. And the family wanted me to refer to John 14, which I did. And I said, as I read some of John 14 to them, I said, this is not, and I bring that in because I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again. We're not talking about religion here. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about relationships with God the Father. We're talking about being surrendered to Christ the Messiah. We're not talking religion. The Pharisees were religious and Jesus scolded them. Are you with me this morning, friends? We're not talking about religion. We're talking about relationships with the Son of God that is real and transformational. It is real to our brothers in places where they have to cross, and sisters who have to go through armed guards and metal detectors just to get into worship. Their faith is real. Not talking about religion. I'm talking about Jesus, surrendered to Christ. Now let me try to wrap this up. I want you to understand, friends, this morning, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody here or you on listening online, but I am suggesting if this message from the Spirit of God, from the Son of God, has any application to us, then we better listen. We better listen to what he says. If it has any application for any of us, the Son of God wants all from you and I or nothing. So while I'm not speaking to anyone in particular, if the shoe fits, we need to take heed of what the Word says. I want us to ponder for a minute while I wrap this up. Where am I at in my walk with Jesus? Am I playing church? Am I trying to fool the pastor? Am I trying to fool my spouse or my parents or my kids? Where am I at with my walk with Jesus? As I pondered on my drive home, I wondered how many of us are willing to stand in lines, long, long lines that start 2 hours before a Thursday night church event. Long lines to get into worship. I wonder how many of us would do that. How many of us would do that? I want so desperately to worship the Lord. I'm going to stand here for 2 hours and I'm going to pass through metal detectors and armed guards to go in and worship. How many of us would do that? When I was in Panama a couple years ago, some of them people walked for 3 days to get to these seminars and lived under a blue plastic tent and slept on a blue plastic tent for days while we instructed them in the reservation. How many American Christians are going to do that? And so when I came home, I'm pondering. And I'm pondering for Jim first. Am I just playing church? Am I just going through some religion, some mechanical motion on Sunday morning, and Monday through Saturday I just go about life and Jesus isn't relevant to me anymore? He's not interested in that, friends. The Son of God wants all of us or none. When I say all of me or all of you, that's what I mean, or none. Picture this for a moment. Some of you have been in Pat's Revelation study, and some of you have read Revelation lately, I'm sure, I hope. Picture for a moment Revelation 4 and 5. The throne room of God. Hallelujah. You got that picture in your mind? The throne room of God. If you never read Revelation 4 and 5, I'd encourage you to grab your Bible this afternoon and read it. The throne room of God. What John sees is boggling to the mind, but he sees the throne room of God. He sees this image of him on the throne. He sees the Lamb. He sees the 24 elders falling down, laying their crowns before the throne. He sees the four creatures. He sees the thousands and thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 around the throne worshiping. Are you with me now? The throne room of God, Revelation 4 and 5. Envision that scene for a moment. Millions crying, holy, holy, holy. Millions worshiping the Lord. Have you got the picture now? Imagine now for a second the holy God where millions are worshiping him because he's worthy of it, because he is holy, because he is real. Envision now that. Contrast that now for a moment, if you will, with the attitude of the church playing Christian, the lukewarm Christian. Well, I'll get to church if I get time. I'll pray if I get time. I'll call upon the Lord if I get in trouble. Imagine the throne room of God contrasted with that attitude. Do you think he wants that attitude in that crowd? I don't think so. He doesn't do lukewarm. He doesn't do us playing church. When my brother said to me, I'm not interested in playing in church anymore, that spoke to me first. And I thought as I drove home, Jim, you better do an engine check. The check engine light might be on. And you better do an engine check. And maybe the check engine light is on for a whole lot of Americanized Christians. And I know the argument. I know the argument, I'll hear it. People will say to me, yeah, you're just too fanatical. You're too over the top. You're this, you're that, you're the other thing. To which I'll simply reply, hell is a long time to be wrong. The Pharisees, I could go on and on and on, but time is up, so I'm going to quit. The Pharisees of Jesus' time were serious in their religion and dead wrong in their faith. They missed the Son of God. They were playing church. My prayer, humbly and honestly before God, for years, has been that our communities would know Jesus. And that we would not only know Jesus, we would act like we knew Jesus. Last week, our brother talked about the crucified life. He talked about our obedience to the Master. And I'm simply asking you, friends, this morning, where are you at? Jim needed to do an engine check. The engine light was on. And I've repented before God. I'm not interested in playing church either, and sometimes I probably have. But I am not interested in playing church. And the word that God has given me, I believe, is relevant for somebody today. If you're still playing church, it's time to be zealous and repent. Fling wide the doors open of your heart and let Him in. Why does it matter? You say, Jim, why does it matter? I will reiterate one more time, as I have done many times, Matthew 7:21. If you don't know what it says, I'd ask you to look it up this afternoon. I'll reiterate it once more, because He said, it was the Son of God that said, not everybody who says to Me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of My Father who is in heaven. Playing church won't get it done on Judgment Day. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? This is eternally serious. Now, Jane and Jess, I'm going to ask us to get ready to sing this song, but the rest of us, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Bow our heads, all of us, and close our eyes. Don't be looking around, worrying about your neighbor. This is between you and God. I want us to ask ourselves, am I really right with the Master? Or am I just going through the motions? Am I playing church? I want us to think that through a minute. And if you're here this morning and you haven't made peace with God through faith in Christ, I want you to consider that today. Matter of fact, I'd invite you, I'm the only one watching, raise your hand and then slip it down. I want to pray together. Thank you. Put your hands down. I've seen them. Anybody else? If you have not made peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ, He's not a religion. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. I've seen you. God knows your hearts. We're going to pray together in a moment. Jesus is not a religion. He died for our sins. He is God in the flesh. And He calls us to commit wholeheartedly to Him. He doesn't do lukewarm. He doesn't do church-playing Christians. And so I'm simply asking you, friends, to take an assessment of your own life, as I did as I drove home. Take an assessment this morning of your own. Am I where I need to be with Jesus? Father, we humbly come before You this morning in humility and surrender and repentance. As Jesus called on the Laodicean church, be zealous and repent. Father, we do that this morning. Collectively, and individuals that have raised their hands, perhaps online and certainly here in the sanctuary. Father, we have come to the realization we don't want to do lukewarm. We don't want to be just church-playing Christians. We are repenting. We are zealously repenting. We are flinging wide the door of our heart, the corners of our heart that we haven't exposed to anybody else. We are flinging the corner of our lives, the doors of our lives open. Lord Jesus, come in and take over. Take over, Father, us as individuals, us as families, us as a church. Take over in this nation, oh God, I pray. And forgive us for being lukewarm. Forgive us for playing. Help us to be passionate with you, Lord Jesus. From this day forward, help us to be led by the Holy Spirit, as our brother challenged us last week. Help us to live the crucified life in obedience to the Son of God, because he died for us and we have given our life to him, Father. And I would just pray, if there's anybody watching on Facebook Live now or Mike this afternoon, or someone sitting here this morning that has not surrendered their life to Christ, I pray they wouldn't let another day go by until they would hear the words of Jesus all over again when he said, behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If anyone will open up the door, I will come in. I will fellowship with them. Father, I pray that they do that today before it's too late. Thank you for the warning that you gave the Laodicean church. I believe it's applicable for us today. Thank you for the direction. Guide us in this congregation. Guide us in your church, in this nation. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.